Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Motown, the musical, was a hit on Broadway. It is now touring the country, and it's coming to Milwaukee July 7, runs through the 12th. We will be talking about it and with three of the cast performers, but of course, it's filled with great Motown songs. We've been singing them all day in the office, so let's start with a song. Motown the Musical tells the story of Berry Gordy, the founder of Motown Records. He wrote the book for the musical. The label, of course, changed the music industry and the national culture and gave birth to the Temptations, Diana Ross and the Supremes, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, the Four Tops, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, the Jackson 5, Martha and the Vandellas, and so many other performers. When he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, this was said of Gordy, he endeavored to reach across the racial divide with music that could touch all people, regardless of the color of their skin. Under his tutelage, Motown became a model of black capitalism, pride, and self-expression, and a repository for some of the greatest talent ever assembled at one company. We'll have three performers joining us this hour, and also hear some of the Motown hits. Starting the program is Devin Goffman. He has toured with the Broadway shows of Jersey Boys, Grease with Frankie Avalon, Titanic, and Buddy. He's also been in some films. He is from Buffalo, but he's getting married in Milwaukee this summer, and his wife's family is from here. This show will be, of course, in Milwaukee starting on July 7. Devin Goffman, hello. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
It must be so much fun to be in a show like this. This music, you know, you put it on, we put it on in the office to select songs this morning, and everybody's dancing, and we know all the words, and I think it's going to be with us for a long, long time. But to be in a show where you get to sing and dance these lyrics must be terrific.
It's absolutely amazing. Some of the best music ever created, and Mr. Gordy, an amazing man, put together this show and wrote the book of this show, and it's an amazing experience for everybody in it and for everybody that comes to see it. Every night after we leave the stage door, I talk to many people who see the show, and I feel like people are changed once they see the show. They see the history of Motown and how much it meant bridging racial barriers and what it meant to music in general, and where we are now with the music industry, mm-hmm. and what Mr. Gordy started. It's a movement, you know?
Yeah, and I know that there are a lot of school groups that are going, too. I think about young people now who know the songs probably, but don't know very much about the history of Motown.
Absolutely. I had a 13-year-old girl who had seen the show with a friend of mine the other night. We're out in Los Angeles, and she had said that she hadn't heard most of the songs in the show, and it was surprising to most of us because we know all the songs in the show, and most people do, but she loved every bit of it, and she was asking me tons of questions about all the songs, and I think it's good. I think it's cool that the younger generation gets a piece of this dynamite music, you know?
Well, you mentioned the racial barriers that were broken because of Motown. What kinds of racial barriers?
Well, it's pretty amazing because, you know, Mr. Gordy, it's in the show, you know, he says that he wants everybody to hear his music. He didn't want to just be have a black audience. He wanted everybody to listen to his music. And he accomplished that. And it became as much of a divide in who is making the music. It's just about everyone wanting to listen to great music. And, you know, there's a part of the show where Mr. Gordy put Martin Luther King speeches onto albums and released them. And in that day and age, it was difficult. We didn't have the internet, and we didn't have things weren't as widespread. So these albums of Martin Luther King's speeches, everybody got to hear them and could hear them over and over again. And I think it was a big part of spreading his word, because he wanted to share Martin Luther King's words and Marvin Gaye's words and his songs. What's Going On is one of the songs of the show. And, it's amazing because it's poignant. It's poignant still today, right. And it was poignant back then. So it's moving for us as actors and as singers to be performing the it on stage. What's Going On scene it depicts the riots that were happening when Martin Luther King was shot. And, mm-hmm. Every night on stage, an actor to be performing that. You feel it, and you feel the emotion, the raw emotion, and I can't imagine being there at that time. And I mean, it's sad that it's still there's still things like this still in our society, but we're doing our best to break down some barriers.
Yeah, I mentioned at the top of the show the number of people who were under the Motown label. Gordy was known for finding new and unknown singers. And my goodness, took so many people to start him. The list is phenomenal, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Mr. Gordy was able to find so many amazing artists and build their talent. And we played Detroit, which was Motown, and played there for 4 weeks. And we got to go to Hitsville, USA, where the house where he built this record label, Motown, and it was amazing. And a lot of the Temptations came back, saw the show, and we got Stevie Wonder came, saw the show. He got up on stage with us on opening night, with us on stage, and it's been amazing to meet. I've gotten to meet Phil Robinson, and these amazing people, and they treat us like family, and it's really an amazing experience to be an actor in the show. It's incomparable to anything I've done.
Yeah, it's great. So, Devin, who found you?
Who found me?
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about my fiance?
No.
Or are you talking about me?
No. We'll get to her in a minute because she's from Milwaukee.
Okay.
No, I mean, who discovered your talent? How did you get in the show?
Oh, my talent.
Right.
Oh, very interesting. I was doing Jersey Boys for about 2.5 years, which... I was on the road with Jersey Boys, and I came back to New York. I mean, about 4 days later, I auditioned for Motown, and I got cast in the tour. It was pretty amazing. I came directly from Jersey Boys, where I got to work with, Frankie Valli and Bob Gaudio, and I was, around the Four Seasons, and I think it made sense. Motown was a great next show for me, and I get to play a lot of amazing roles in the show of some of Mr. Gordy's really close friends. And during the rehearsal process in Chicago for our tour, he came to work with us, and Mr. Gordy himself spoke with us about each person that we play in the show and what they meant to his life. And I mean, as an actor, there's nothing better than playing a real human being, somebody who was part of history. And, I get to play roles like Ed Sullivan, which is fun in the show. But also roles like Barney Ailes, who was a great salesman for Mr. Gordy, and Carol Novak, who he was his lawyer. And Mr. Gordy has talked to me about each of these people and what they meant to him. And Shelley Berger, who is the manager of the Supremes, and Motown. It's amazing. It's a very large cast, and every single one of us together makes up Motown, kind of like how the artists came together to make this very big label. And it's a really strong cast of wonderful performers. I'm very blessed to be with them.
I would imagine. And you're getting married in Milwaukee this summer.
I am. I'm getting married at Turner Hall. We're getting married at Pier Marquette Park, right outside. And then we're getting our reception is at Turner Hall Ballroom. So I'm ecstatic. My fiance Katie Pistotnik is an actor as well. She was she just finished the tour of Ghost the musical, and she was playing the lead girl in that, Molly, and she
she actually, I think she played Appleton and Chicago with that tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten to be in Milwaukee before when I was there with Jersey Boys. And her family's in Greendale, Wisconsin, and they're just wonderful people. I think Wisconsin's a wonderful place, and I've found it as a second home to me now. And I'm really excited to get married there.
Well, you've got a lot of excitement going on. Devin, thank you very much. We'll look forward to seeing you in the musical, Motown the Musical, on July 7 you open, right?
Yeah, very soon. In a couple of weeks we'll be there, and then in August I'll be there for my wedding. So it's a whole lot of Wisconsin this summer.
Right. Whole lot of fun. Thank you so much, Devin.
Yes.
Devin
All
Kaufman.
Right, thanks for having me.
He'll be in the show in Milwaukee's with a touring company now of Motown the Musical, and we're talking about the musical and hearing some Motown, talking with three of the performers this hour, and welcoming your phone calls, too. It's amazing how we hear these songs, we know almost all of the words, and you just can't sit still for many of them. You have to get up and dance. So I'm sure that many of you have either stories about your Motown favorites or stories about songs that were important to you, or the importance of Motown in trying to bridge a racial divide in this country. I think that was a big thing during the time that this record label was started. The musical itself follows the story of the founder of Motown, who's an interesting guy. He's from Detroit, and he worked on the assembly line, and we'll talk with some of the other performers about what inspired him in his life. It begins on the evening of the 25th anniversary celebration of Motown, and Berry Gordy is deciding whether or not he should go to that. We'll find out why as we continue. But we want to hear a lot of songs, too. So this is Smokey Robinson, and Smokey Robinson's career, more than five decades of hits. Born and raised in Detroit, founded Smokey Robinson and the Miracles while still in high school, and I'm sure that you catch him performing in various places. Smokey Robinson, you really got a hold on me, and we will continue and talk with another cast member. Cast members now of Motown the Musical, which opens July 7 here in Milwaukee, and we're welcoming phone calls too for memories that you have of certain Motown songs and the role that music may have played, this particular kind of music, in bridging a huge racial divide in the country back in the 50s and 60s. Ashley Tamar Davis is with us now. She's in the production. She has toured the productions of Prince. She's done theater and TV and is a Grammy-nominated songwriter for the song Beautiful, Loved, and Blessed. She is graduated of University of Southern California School of Music. Ashley Tamar. Do you go by Ashley or by Tamar? Ashley
Davis. Yes, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being with us. We were just talking with another of the cast members about how darn much fun, I know it must be exhausting, but to be in a show like this where you get to sing these songs and dance along to them and also realize how important they are in our cultural history and our musical history must be a real treat.
It is beyond a treat. Sometimes you have to really stop and just be like, is this, you know, number one, is this happening? And then when you look at the news and you go back and you perform it every night, it really does become a huge, huge treat and an honor. And then it's sad at the same time because we're still living, you know, what happened back in the 50s and the 60s. So It's an honor, especially because I wasn't even thought of at the time. So, to see, you know, see people bobbing their heads and just really like singing the songs, it's pretty cool. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So we didn't talk very much with the first cast member about Berry Gordy, but let's talk about him and the way this is set up. It's based on his time with Motown, the story, isn't it?
It is. When we first started rehearsing with the show, our press people were very good at, you know, explaining how we're to go about when we talk about the show, whether we're on camera, on the radio, or just off camera and off the radio. It is definitely not a Motown review. It is a Broadway musical that is explaining exactly how he even got the funding from his family. I play his older sister, and so it's pretty interesting because, you know, back then the family had their own little credit union, and he describes this based in his book called To Be Loved. And so he talks about how he had to get the money and how the family had to all agree on it. And, you know, he borrowed some money and he kept failing at other things, quote unquote. But in the process, he built Motown out of nothing, out of literally a vision. And so it talks about how he met Smokey Robinson. It talks about how Smokey introduces Berry Gordy to Diana Ross when they're young as the primettes. He explores the Marvelettes. Then he talks about when he was forced to almost sign, or give away Motown and how it was a stressful situation for him, but he ended up bringing to you the Commodores and Tina Marie and Rick James. And so you would think that the music is just in the 50s and the 60s, but he brought it so current that, like, you have no choice but to respect this man's vision from the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm. You know? What about the process? And I asked our other guest about this, but you've been in this whole cutthroat business, really, and being at the right place at the right time, developing your talent, but having to have somebody pick you out of a crowd and saying, I want her on the stage. He did that with so many people who became such superstars. It's just an incredibly long list. How did he do that? And then tell us your story of how, I believe it was Prince, really, noticed you.
That's a good question. We all had the opportunity to sit with Mr. Gordy himself at the beginning of the process. We see him periodically, and he's still giving us feedback on the show. But it was pretty interesting to hear his take on how he met each person. And it was so interesting because he built not only careers in music, but in songwriting. People had jobs with him. And he remembers exactly how he met every single person.
Mm.
And the way he would tell the story, for instance, like, how he met Gladys Knight versus how he met Mary Wells and how, you know, he did meet Diana Ross. It was pretty interesting to see this man remember every single detail. So it helped us to build a character. But you can tell even now, like, he feels as though we bring things to the table that he wasn't even privy to when he was signing the artist back then. So it's interesting to know that he's always had that gift to see beyond what the talent, you know, provided. And then he was great at merging all of his talents together to create like almost like a fortified city. Mm. To say, let's use in-house what we have. You know, if we didn't have this, then the receptionist was able to add to that. And everyone had a hunger for the art. I think that's a little bit different nowadays where, you know, a lot of artists are now chasing money. And I think he also saw that they wanted the art. And because he saw that they wanted the art, he was willing to assist them in finding that as well. And with Prince, it was kind of the same thing. And sometimes I kind of allude to the Diana Berry relationship with Tamar and Prince because Prince, like, immediately gravitated towards me. He called me his muse. And at the time, I didn't know what none of that meant. But he always propelled me to do better, to think deeper, to write deeper. And I was never afraid to ask him questions or to ask advice. And I think the humility of it all just helped. our relationship even bigger than anything. Like, he would come and visit my brother at his basketball tournament. Like, we became a family unit. And music was always the crux of everything. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we were family. And I think Berry Gordy nailed that as well. He made sure it was a family unit first. And in there, everyone was able to rely on each other.
So tell me about his role as he was sitting, and I guess he still stops in every now and then, as he watches your group perform, your ensemble. Does he critique you? Does he give you suggestions?
Mr. Berry Gordy Jr. is always the chairman. I mean, without him, I mean, no matter, sometimes we'll still have some script changes here and there. He will come backstage and greet us before the show. Sometimes we're, you know, we gather together to meditate together. He's always giving feedback on what his reaction is when he's sitting in the audience and he hears other people's reaction. And I think that's what gives us the extra jolt of energy, because without his vision, no matter what, like, for him to say it firsthand what it makes him feel, we still cannot even fathom. You know, we've been blessed to meet Smokey Robinson on several times. HGH has come around. Stevie Wonder has graced his presence countless times. Even the late Edna Anderson, Suzanne DePass, like, it, just to see all these people come back and support us, you know, the new generation, as you would take it, tell their story. And I can't even imagine what they're feeling, you know, when they come around. But he's always around, and he's always present. He's always involved, and he's always cognizant of what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's his baby.
Yeah.
It's still his baby.
Right.
You know?
His baby in lots of ways, right? What you're all performing about, and the fact that he wrote what you're performing now. What about the audience? Can people stay in their seats or not?
Well, I know for me, when I saw the show in 2013 in New York, I could not stay in my seat. Like, I wanted to stand up. People stand up. Sometimes when we get to a certain segment of the show with Stevie Wonder, it's interesting to see people pop up. And then, but before they pop up, they're looking around like, is this okay? It's so interesting to see that reaction on the stage. But it's okay to stand up. It's okay to talk back to us. I mean, you know, it doesn't throw us off. We keep the show moving. But it's hard. I don't even know how people sit that long and not stand up. It's hard.
Did you know all the songs? Were you familiar with the lyrics? You're a young person as you were growing up, or was some of this new to you?
I can honestly say about 95% of this was new to me. For instance, you know, I'd never heard of Mary Wells, but I've heard of My Guy. I did not know she was considered the queen of Motown. You've heard Brick House all the time. It's been in almost any commercial now in film, which I think is so priceless, because you know, as an artist, you don't think to say, oh, let me go and Google who sings Brick House. You know, you just don't think about that. And you have no idea that Berry Gordy signed the Commodores when he was on the verge of, you know, selling the company. You know, Tina Marie, I've always been a fan of hers. I had no idea she was on Motown. Rick James never had an idea he was on Motown. So I can honestly say this show shocked me completely. Absolutely, completely.
I think that this music, though, is going to last for a long time, and I'm wondering if you agree with me and why you think that might be the case.
I agree with you. Well, can you repeat that one more time?
Why the music? I mean, I grew up in that generation, so I know a lot of these songs, but I have a feeling the music's just going to be around for a long time, and I'm wondering what it is, what it is about the music that makes it so everlasting.
That's a great question. I feel the music now, I feel the more and more we do this show, and when you see these icons in your face, I really feel like there was a different drive in the 50s and 60s outside of the turbulent times. I really feel like they created from the artistic side of for the art's sake. It wasn't for financial gain. It wasn't like, let me just be a celebrity. I want to be seen. When we even visited Hicksville, like, you think this house is little bigger. This house is like one of the smallest houses. And just to imagine, like, all these people cooped in one room, like, they appreciated the small stuff that ended up being the big stuff. I remember Quincy Jones said something about Michael Jackson after he passed, and he said, if anyone ever told you that we thought Thriller was a hit, they are lying to you. he said, we created the songs because they felt good to us. Yeah. And I feel like music then felt good to them. They didn't care if it, you know, they didn't know anything about, you know, what royalties were and how big the song could make money. You know, and I feel like right. now the focus, in, to some degree, has changed. And a lot of people back then were willing to fit in where they could fit in. They knew they had a talent. They just didn't know how they could use it, but they were so willing to just help mm-hmm. and be servant. And I feel like that's what propelled them. Even now, you could see Smokey Robinson in a room, and he would just be chilling. He's not like, hey, I'm Smokey. I'm here. Look at me. You know, I feel like the drive was definitely different. And I always feel like when you have a leader such as a Berry Gordy or a Prince or a Quincy Jones who is standing their ground, and they know that they want to help as well as be helped and know where their weaknesses are, I think that's what makes their music so timeless. And there's a scene where Marvin Gaye is talking about what's going on. He's trying to sing this song to Berry Gordy. Berry Gordy's like, look, we have a label for that kind of music. You're a pop soul artist. And he said, I don't want to be that. I want to talk about what's happening now. What happened to this very day that is one of the biggest songs ever created. So I feel like if artists could get back to the artistry, get back to the truth and honesty of what they're feeling in that moment, in that real time, and not think about the dollars and anything else, I think that's what will make a timeless song. Ideally, Adele is amazing at that. Barbara Streisand has nailed that. I feel Neo has been amazing at that. Even, I can't even remember his name. I can't remember his name now. But, yeah, I think that's what made them the music timeless.
Yeah. And what about the performing? You must use up so much energy. You must be able to eat as much as you want because you burn off all the calories every day.
Oh, I wish you, girl, I wish I could eat whatever I want and burn off the calories. No, ma'am.
No?
I mean, our biggest dance number is dancing in the street in the show, and that's about like 2-3 minutes. That's not enough to burn off what you really want to eat. What I really want to eat is French fries and jalapeno chips all day. But no, that doesn't work. And you know, when we got to San Diego, it was so gloomy. I think we all just burst. We just slept. Like, the whole cast was like, what's wrong with me? We all just slept. So, you know, the days are very taxing, but we have such a ball. We have such a ball.
So. I'll bet you do, and we're looking forward to seeing it here in Milwaukee. Ashley, all the best to you. We'll see you July 7th in Milwaukee.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
No, thank you. Ashley Tamar Davis, who's in the cast of Motown the Musical. She has toured with the productions of Prince, theater and television work she's done, and she's a Grammy-nominated songwriter for the song Beautiful, Loved, and Blessed. We keep going back to the number of performers who were nurtured and discovered by Berry Gordy and went on to have huge careers. Obviously, Ashley was mentioning Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5. You remember the Jackson 5? Some of you listening certainly will. One of the biggest pop music acts of the 1970s, five brothers from, of all places, Gary, Indiana. And the story is from this show, Gordy at first didn't want to sign them because there were problems with signing, or it's complex to sign underage performers. But he saw them audition. He signed the group. He had a big party at his mansion in Detroit to welcome them to the Motown family. Diana Ross presented the group, and the group was wildly successful as a crossover group with unparalleled mass marketing appeal to young people all over the U.S. from every race and from every creed. So we'll hear a little bit of Jackson 5. I haven't heard them in a long time. We also welcome, this might be the kind of show it's hard to call in, but I know some of you listening must be big Motown fans, and you'd like to mention perhaps your favorite artist or a song that you listen to and have listened to since the 1960s. We welcome your calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Or leave a message on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show.
Come on, come on, come on, let me show you what it's all about. Simple as the rain.
Marvin Gaye and Heard It Through the Grapevine. He, of course, a featured performer in this musical, began his music career at the age of 4, singing in his father's church, and met Berry Gordy while performing at the company Christmas party. Isn't that great? And then he got noticed. He was performing at the company Christmas party. He had a lot of really big, big songs. And a sad life, really. He had a very successful career with singer Tammy Terrell, and it ended when she was diagnosed with a brain tumor. He was disillusioned with the music business during her illness, and he entered a serious depression after she died, and of course was concerned about events around him too, with what's going on. That album inspired by his brother's recent return from Vietnam. We're going to meet another cast member in just a moment. I want to get to a few of your phone calls. Barbara in Madison, hi.
Hi,
Barbara.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I grew up in the 60s, and my mother was a go-go dancer up in Hibbing, Minnesota, and I used to practice with her and her dance mate to Diana Ross and the Supremes. I remember taking a record over to a girlfriend's house, and I was, you know, under 10, and knew all the moves that you could imagine from go-go dancing practice. And the parents just about fell over. But it was great music and a great memory. And thanks for the program.
Yeah. Do you still play it? Do you still listen?
Oh, yes. I love it. Yeah. And I have to say that my daughter and her best friend next door neighbors would do the same thing. They'd join me in the sunroom, and we'd do all dance and showed them all the go-go dancing moves.
Oh, that's great. So, generation to generation. Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Marty in Bennett. Hi, Marty.
Hi, good afternoon. I love the thought of go-go dancers in Hibbing, Minnesota. Population about 200.
Oh, great.
I grew up in Cleveland. I was a teenager in the early 60s, mid-60s, and would fall asleep really honestly with my transistor radio under the pillow, tuned to CKLW in Detroit. All the Motown, all the time. It's the music of my childhood. I'm thrilled that your guest referenced Smokey Robinson. If you've not heard the 25th anniversary Rock and Roll Hall of Fame concerts, Smokey Robinson singing Tracks of My Tears in 2010. So what's that, like 50 years later? It will bring you to your knees. Unbelievable. Thanks for the show, Kathleen.
Thank you so much, Marty. I'm going to Tracks of My Tears when this baby's off the air. Jesse in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi.
Hello, how are you? Thank you for this program.
Sure.
And you had challenged us to call in to talk about our favorite groups or acts. And I felt compelled to say that the Four Tops were my all-time favorite vocal group. And the songwriting production team of Holland Dozier Holland wrote these great operatic songs for them in the late 60s, like Standing in the Shadows of Love and Reach Out
right.
There.
Yes.
And my all-time favorite, Bernadette, which is the greatest love song I think of all time, in my opinion. And so I just wanted to let you know that this is a great show that you have on, and Motown will live forever.
Thank you, Jesse. Thanks for the call. Melody in Prairieville. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, there was 10 kids. Out of one room came Chicago. Out of the other room came Ventures. And out of my room came Motown. And it was funny. One day I had my favorite Temptations album. My girlfriend was telling me, what's your favorite animal? I said, dog. She said, what's your favorite animal? I said, dog. What's your favorite animal? Dog. I broke my Temptations album. I cried for 2 days.
Oh.
But I had the Diana Ross doll. I had all of the Supremes, and I've turned my granddaughters onto it, and they love it. Etta James, my granddaughter loves Etta James. She sings her, and it was just a wonderful time. I saw Berry Gordy on Ima's show. He was wonderful. He was personable. He was open about his sexuality, and the man is amazing.
Thank you, Melody. Thanks for your call. Great to hear from you. We have another of the cast members. Jarvis Manning is from Houston, Texas, and he's joining us by phone. He will be in Milwaukee as well. The whole tour Motown, the musical, is coming to Milwaukee for a short run starting July 7th. So it features so many of these songs and performers that Gordy was able to develop the talent and had the cute business sense to be able to form Motown, which was probably remains the most successful black business of all times. It's really a phenomenal thing that he did. So Jarvis is joining us now from Houston, Texas. He's in his first Equity production and is very honored and blessed that it's with Motown. We're welcoming more. Keep those calls coming, too. You guys are great. You really do remember this music. He's with us now. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Hey, Jarvis, thanks very much for being with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our great pleasure, Jarvis. So how did you get in the show? Tell me about the auditions, and was Barry Gordy watching you when you were trying out or not?
Yes, he actually watched.
I'm
actually not a dancer, per se. So I went into the first dance call, and it was crazy. So I had like four dance calls before I actually had the chance to see Mr. Gordy, and he sat behind the table, and I started singing My Girl.
Oh.
And as soon as I started singing, he turned away from me. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't get this job. So I just kept singing my song. And when I finished singing, I felt defeated. So I started to leave out of the room. And they said, where are you going? Hold on. So they had me stay and sing another song, and then another song, and then another song. And it was all the Motown hits. He kept turning away. So I actually had the chance to ask him about him turning away at the audition. And he was like, well, man, when I see somebody, if I see somebody and they remind me of somebody, it makes me kind of turn away and say, hey, this person reminds me of this person. Reminds me of Eddie Holland and all these different people. So luckily, I reminded him of someone, and that's how I got the job.
And let's hear just a little bit of My Girl. Oh, yeah, there you go. Is that how you sing it, Jarvis? Does it sound like that when you sing?
Yeah, well, no, I wish. the Motown artists of that day had that raw gift that a lot of people don't have this day. Like, they just had amazing talent. They didn't have to have all the training. They just had perfect gifts, and it worked for them.
Yeah, how did he find these people? Because there must have been all kinds of people who knew what he was creating and wanted him to tap them. How did he decide who to tap? Do you know?
It's funny. In the show, we actually have moments of people coming to audition. Like, the Supremes came to him, and they tried to sing a little song to him. They actually sang Lonely Teardrop. He was like, that sounds great, but why don't you sing that? Why don't you guys pick that song? And they were like, well, we wanted to pick a song you wrote. So they were just very persistent in trying to get into this amazing opportunity. Everybody just kind of felt the opportunity, he says, in Detroit, and they knew it was something up and coming, and everybody had these raw talents that they just had to get out there. And a lot of them are from the same exact projects in Detroit, in the same area in Detroit as well. So it's amazing how all the talent just really came to him and would come to audition for him faithfully.
The other thing we haven't talked very much about was that his family took a chance on him and loaned him money to start all of this. But what this gentleman built was pretty phenomenal, wasn't it?
It is. It completely is. And to see it came from $800 and now I'm sure $800 is like change to him, like a penny or less.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to see the growth from the family that's trusted in him to do, just step out on faith for this huge opportunity. And look what he has now.
Mm-hmm.
And look what he had then. And it's just amazing to be around the royalty of Motown.
Yeah. So who do you think of all the performers had the most sense of maybe social responsibility as a singer? Was it Marvin Gaye? Were there others?
I would definitely say Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
I would definitely say Marvin Gaye because he was trying to push the envelope before people wanted to do that. I think at the time, too, everybody was kind of having their own moment of, kind of like we are today, when you feel the things that are going on in society, but you don't know how to voice it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like because he was kind of like, from his own cloth, he knew what he wanted to do. He had his own mindset. And they say he was very stubborn as well, so he knew what he wanted to do. And once he got that name, Marvin Gaye, he was able to push the envelope and kind of step out and talk about what he wanted to talk about. And the issues that were very prominent back then are still prominent now. That's why what's going on is still a powerful moment in the show to this day, because of the words that are in the song. Like, what's going on? Everybody always wants to know what's going on, especially with the society and what we see on TV and Instagram. So you see all these things now in social media that they didn't have back then, and they see it. We see so much of it more now.
Yeah. So did I get this right? You don't dance, but you had to pass dancing audition in order to get. So do you dance now?
Yes.
Yeah, you dance. Huh?
I do it. Yeah. When I tell you that first call I went into was okay, but then the call back, I went to the front of the room and I was like, hey, thank you for this opportunity. However, I did not learn this second dance, so I'm going to have to step out. And the choreographer was kind of like, no, just stay on the side and I can talk to you later on about another audition.
Oh.
So I came in that next Wednesday and we ended up dancing to Do You Love Me, which is one of my favorite songs. So dance to that, and then they had us dancing in the streets, and I got through.
Oh.
I made it through. Yeah.
So maybe you were a dancer, and you don't think of yourself as a dancer, right?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you have to tap into those gifts that you have hidden and tucked away, and that's what they definitely did now. And the show, I'm one of the dancers now in the show.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah.
That is fun. So I understand that Berry Gordy has sat in the audience. Is it intimidating, or other cast members have said you sort of have this sense of family about you, and he may offer warmth and may offer advice, but it's not this, do this another way. I don't like the way you've done this.
Definitely. Mr. Gordy is so connected to the show and so connected to the songs and these artists that he knows exactly what he wants. So when he comes into the house, it's one of those moments of, it's like having a teacher or the principal in the room, and you try to do your best. But he's going to find something at all times. There's a line in the show where Diana Ross, like, notes, always. And definitely always notes. But when you get notes from a legend, it's like, come on, fix me. So, like, he gives us notes faithfully, but they're all perfect, though. Like, anything Mr. Gordy says is best if you want to do it. He ran through town, so how could you say no?
Right, exactly. You can't. Yeah, you can't really say no. If you want to join us, we'd love to hear from you. There were a flurry of phone calls from those of you who have passed Motown along to your children and your grandchildren, and I love these stories because I can identify with them. You hear the song, and you're up and dancing, and it's forever so. You'll keep dancing for as long as we're hearing the music, which I suspect will be a long time. So we do have a couple minutes left if you'd like to join our conversation. Jarvis Manning Jr. from Houston, Texas, he's in the show that will be in Milwaukee on July 7th is when it opens here, Motown the Musical. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Jarvis, did you perform in Detroit as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good time. It was funny. All of the Motown legacy came back. So we had Smokey Robinson in the audience.
Oh.
We got to sing behind Stevie Wonder when he came on the stage at the end of the show. And Martha Reeves, like all these amazing artists came. And they were all kind of sitting down waiting to see what we were going to do. And they all came to us at the end of the show and told us how pleased they were with how we were portrayed. And they gave us notes on, oh, no, I wouldn't do it like this. And I'm Eddie Holland in the show, and I actually met him recently. And I was like, so everybody told me you were kind of out there. You were very talkative. He was like, actually, no, that's not how I was at all. I was very into myself. So you get to get these notes from the actual people, which is amazing. And being in the history in the city where everything started in Detroit,
yes,
was so amazing.
Yeah,
just right down the street from the Hitsville building as well.
Oh, and to have those performers in the audience, oh, Jarvis, what a night. What a night to remember forever, right?
Right, so humbling.
Mm-hmm.
They all came on the stage at the end and sang with us at the very end of the show, which was so powerful.
I'm sure it was. Isn't it exhausting to do a tour like this? You're in a different city, or it's a high-energy show?
It can be, but I tell my mom all the time, because she asks me that same question all the time. I used to work with my father on a plumbing truck, so anytime that I could be on stage doing what I love doing, like, this is nothing. So it is one of those things where it's like you could be at home without a check, so either you get a check or you don't.
Right.
So I try to remember that to keep my mind and body and spirits up.
Yeah. Let's go to Steve in Madison calling in. Hi, Steve.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say, you may not be aware of this, but there's a fellow from Milwaukee, a fellow by the name of John Hoyer, who was with one or maybe two fairly fairly well-known Motown act back in the day. He was with Michael and the Messengers, and also I believe he worked a bit with Rare Earth. I happen to know that he's still around and still playing in the Milwaukee area, and he's still making money for Barry Gordy. His big hit song that Michael and the Messengers had, and I don't remember what the name of the song is very popular in Japan and is being used a lot in commercials in Japan as we speak.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I hope he comes to the show. I hope that they know that he's in town.
Yeah, John Hoyer, H-O-I-E-R. Easy to find. He's still in Milwaukee, and I believe he was on the Motown label for 3 or 4 years there, with both Michael and the Messengers, and I believe Rare Earth also.
That's great. Thank you so much for the call. How long does the tour go? Are you on the road for a year or more than that, Jarvis?
We've been on the road now for a year plus.
We
actually have dates and performances all the way through 2016, so we have a whole bunch of dates next year as well. And they're opening a pass in the West End in London starting spring, I think it is.
Really?
Yeah. So Motown is going around the world now, so we're excited.
And so is Jarvis. That sounds really good. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you ever so much for being with us. It was a real pleasure, and you can just hear the joy in your voice. I'd like to see you dance, but it's radio, so have to see the show.
Thank you. Hey, I'm dancing right now.
Are you? You're good.
Yeah.
Hey, you're really good. Thanks, Jarvis.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Jarvis Manning Jr. from Houston, Texas. He's in the show, and it's his first Equity production. You can hear how excited he is. He says he feels honored and blessed that it's with Motown. We promised you a song. We're going to play all of this song, so get your dancing shoes on. Get ready to dance. I'm going to do the same in our studio. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this wonderful hour, and Scotty Myers for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. We'll be with you again on Monday for all things political. Here is Marvin Gaye.
If you ever